This morning on WCHL, 34 UNC centers and institutes could face the axe from the university's Board of Governors. A trio of nonprofits wants to partner with the town of Carrboro to build a four-story arts and innovation center downtown.
The Arts Center, KidZoo, and Carolina Performing Arts are asking the town of Carrboro to build a 55,000-square-foot building.
And about a month after the release of the Weinstein Report, UNC is facing more backlash. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carrboro traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, the number 12 North Carolina men's basketball team dominated East Carolina 108-64 on Sunday at the Dean Smith Center. And
the college football playoff created both great interest and controversy.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
39 degrees this morning in Chapel Hill, 707 WCHL. Mostly cloudy all day, chance of rain in the afternoon. Cooler temperatures, our highs are going to stick around 40 all day long. That's about as warm as it's going to get. 34 UNC centers and institutes could be facing the axe soon from the university's Board of Governors. That report comes from North Carolina Policy Watch. Closing any or all of the centers across 16 UNC campuses would be the result of up to $15 million in cuts approved by the Republican-led state legislature. The proposed cuts extend to speaker series and other non-academic activities as well. The list was narrowed down from 237 centers and institutions that were compiled earlier in the year. Seven of the 34 current centers on the list are already under campus review. The Board of Governors will hear presentations on Wednesday and Thursday this week before making final recommendations. Groups under review for the cuts include the Research Institute for Environment, Energy, and Economics at Appalachian State University, the Institute for Civic Engagement and Social Change at North Carolina Central University, and the UNC Center for Civil Rights at UNC here in Chapel Hill. NC Policy Watch quoted UNC Board of Governors member Jim Holmes denying that the proposed cuts and closures are driven by any particular political agenda. About a month after the release of the Weinstein Report, the university is facing more backlash. 10 media organizations are suing UNC for withholding the names of the 9 employees who faced discipline or dismissal for their involvement in the academic scandal. They also want information on the other employees named in the report. The media outlets claim the names are public information, but the university has refused to disclose them. And last week, UNC filed a motion to dismiss the complaint altogether. Rini Gupta reports for Carolina Connection.
The lawsuit was filed by the Associated Press, 4 broadcasting companies, and 5 newspapers, including the News and Observer. NNO senior investigative reporter Steve Riley says he's frustrated with how UNC is handling the release of information he believes should be open to the public.
The University of North Carolina is easily the most difficult public agency that we've ever worked with here. I can't think of another one we've had to sue 3 times, let alone in 4 years.
Raleigh attorney Mike Toddy is representing the 10 media outlets in the lawsuit to get the names of faculty and staff members who were punished or fired after the Weinstein Report uncovered decades of fake classes and bogus grades.
Basically, we filed the lawsuit under the public records law, saying that another statute makes that information public, and the state employees that we're seeking information on are those that have been connected with the academic scandal as revealed by the recent Weinstein report.
A university spokesman released a statement November 24th, the day the lawsuit was filed, saying, quote, "We decline further comment at this time while we review these claims." This week, we asked Chancellor Carol Folt about the lawsuit after the ceremony announcing the donation to the School of Pharmacy.
Really?
Is that what you want to ask me about right now?
I'm sorry, I have to.
I think you should ask me about that at a different time.
Okay.
Shortly after the lawsuit was filed, the university did release one name. Jamie Lee, a former football academic counselor, was one of 4 people terminated. The Daily Tar Heel printed a list with other names that it said it had obtained from an anonymous source, but the university has not confirmed that list. Jenny Serain is the DTH editor-in-chief.
There is a lot of kind of clouded information, so it's disappointing, I think, because in our opinion, these employees have obviously done a lot to damage the integrity of the university, and their names have already been floated out there through the Weinstein Report, which the university commissioned.
The media organizations expect a hearing on the lawsuit sometime this month. In Chapel Hill, I'm Reenie Gupta.
Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It just aired its final show of 2014 this past Saturday, but it will be back on WCHL again in January, Saturday mornings at 8:30 during the school year. A trio of nonprofit organizations wants to partner with the town of Carborough to build a four-story arts and innovation center downtown. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more on the story.
The Arts Center, Kids Zoo, and Carolina Performing Arts are asking the town of Carborough to build a 55,000-square-foot building across the street from Armadillo Grill to be known as the Carborough Arts and Innovation Center. The proposal calls for the lot at the corner of Roberson and Main Streets to be donated to the town, which currently leases the property for parking. Carborough would contribute $4.5 million of the $12 million construction cost for the building. Some of that money would be generated by a new hotel proposed for the site of the current Art Center. The nonprofits would raise the rest through donations, foundations, and grants. Under the current plan, the town would own the building and lease it to the three groups in partnership. The Board of Aldermen voted 6-1 last week to hold a public hearing on the plan when meetings resume in January. That hearing is scheduled for January 20th, 2015. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
The Chapel Hill Town Council will sit down with developers to hash out the details for the Obie Creek proposal at a special work session tonight. The council is negotiating a development agreement with East West Partners to govern the long-term build-out of the 1.5 million square foot project across from Southern Village, just south of town. Tonight, the council will discuss affordable housing, recreation space, bike and pedestrian connectivity, and a possible pedestrian bridge to span 15501. The meeting will start tonight at 7 o'clock in council chambers at Chapel Hill Town Hall. We're now more than a month out from Election Day 2014, and the national election is now officially over, as Louisiana Democrat Mary Landrieu just lost a runoff to keep her seat in the U.S. Senate. That brings the GOP's majority in the Senate to 54-46, and it means the so-called Solid South is solid once again. Not counting Florida, every single state in the Deep South, from North Carolina over to Arkansas, will have two Republican senators as of January. But public policy polling director Chom Jensen says there is reason for Democrats in North Carolina to celebrate. At least, Kay Hagan lost her Senate seat, but North Carolina Democrats gained seats in the General Assembly, and that bucked a pretty strong trend. Jensen spoke last week with WCHL's Aaron Keck.
I think most of the polling that sort of goes on in the days after the election like this is sort of trying to figure out why what happened in the election happened. And it's sort of an interesting mixture of conclusions when you look at North Carolina. You know, on one hand, Democrats are disappointed because Kay Hagan lost and Republicans kept control of the legislature. But on the other hand, Democrats actually have success stories in North Carolina that they don't, certainly most anywhere in the South and really just about nowhere in the country. There's been a lot of sort of death of the Southern Democrat think pieces in various national publications over the last 2 weeks. But in North Carolina, Democrats actually gained seats in the legislature, and this is the only state in the country where that happened. So a lot of sort of interesting things to look at as we start to look towards 2016.
I was reading, and I don't know if it was you who was talking about this on Facebook earlier this week, but someone was, that this coming election is going to be, you know, the spotlight's going to be on North Carolina yet again, not just because we'll be a swing state in the presidential race, but I think this is the only state in the country that's going to be simultaneously a swing state in the presidential race and have a high-profile gubernatorial race and have a high-profile Senate race all at the same time. So 2 years from now is going to be, if anything, even busier than we saw in the last election cycle, where $100 million were spent on one race alone.
Yeah, I mean, most states have their gubernatorial elections in a different year than presidential elections. So not only are we going to be one of the few states that has a gubernatorial election in 2016, but all indications are that we're headed for likely a pretty close gubernatorial election. We've been testing Pat McCrory and Roy Cooper and hypothetical matchups with each other for a long time now, and usually within 2 or 3 points of each other. So it looks like that's going to be a close race. And one thing, sadly, I know we've all been enjoying sort of a respite from the political ads, but we are quite possibly in for even more of them this next cycle. And one sort of interesting poll finding we had for a private client this week, it was in a different state, but I think the numbers would hold in North Carolina, they were testing the possibility of implementing special taxation on political television ads and found that over 70% of the voters in this state would support having special taxation on political ads that would progressively increase the rate of taxation depending on the quantity of ads that you were running. And this was the rare thing in our highly polarized political times where Democrats and Republicans both said they strongly supported that concept. So maybe some intrepid, I have no idea if it would be legal or how something like that would work, but it might be something some intrepid politician in the General Assembly might want to bring forward that would have a lot of public support here.
I would be 150% in favor of that, if that's at all possible. I know it just reminded me back in one of the first Supreme Court cases of all time, McCulloch v. Maryland, John Marshall said, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And good Lord, if there's one thing that I would like to destroy, it is months and months of those horrible campaign ads.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little worried it's going to start even earlier this cycle than it did last cycle.
Years and years of campaign ads, right?
Yeah, you know, the ads hitting Kay Hagan started in November, a year before the election, and they did sort of destroy her approval rating before she had a chance to really define herself. I think the parties are going to see that, and you may see the ads start even earlier than 12 months out this time around.
Once again, that is Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck. 717 WCHL. Time now for Traffic and Weather Together. Traffic is brought to you this morning by Cruisers, and here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Looks pretty good out in the roadway so far. No major problems to report. Northbound 15-501 in pretty good shape so far from Franklin Street to 40. Northbound Durham Freeway just busy from 40 through Ellis Road through RTP and 40 eastbound. Still remaining delay-free as you head out to the park from 86 all the way through Highway 55. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
You're awfully perky on a Monday morning.
I'm halfway through my second mug of coffee, and then I say mug, this thing is like, 2 feet tall.
big mug of Cruiser's coffee.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Well, thank you very
You're welcome.
Much. And we'll talk to you again in just a little while here.
Sounds good.
Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. That's where you can fuel up every morning with Cruiser's Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and also hot chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great at Cruiser's. Good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carver Weather presented by Grimble Jewelers. It is 39 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, mostly cloudy today, chance of rain in the afternoon. Our cooler temperatures, our highs today are going to stick right around 40, around a degree or so, either way. Tonight, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain, near steady temperatures, middle 30s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain in the morning, not as cool with a high in the low 50s. Grimble Jewelers, the home of Berkeley Grimble. He probably feels like it's his home. He's there a lot. And go see Berkeley if you're thinking about popping the question. They have an engagement ring you're looking for. Grimble's is the place. Also, they have all kinds of custom pieces that they can do at Grimble's in the Village Plaza right next to Whole Foods on Elliott Road. It is 7:19 at WCHL. In other news this morning, Chatham County deputies say 3 people have died and 10 people were sent to the hospital after using cocaine that was laced with a painkiller. Investigators said in a news release that the 13 people lived around Siler City and Bear Creek in Chatham County and were sickened early on Saturday within an hour of using the cocaine. Deputies say they had tested a sample of that coke at the state crime lab and determined it also had the narcotic painkiller fentanyl in it. Authorities say a 42-year-old man, a 24-year-old man, and a 23-year-old man all died. Autopsies have been ordered for all 3 of those people. Deputies say at least one of the people hospitalized is in critical condition. Federal officials are helping in the investigation. So far, no arrests have been made. 7:20 at WCHL. Time now for championship sports. And the number 12 North Carolina men's basketball team dominated East Carolina 108-64 on Sunday at the Dean Smith Center, coming off a tough loss on Wednesday night against Iowa, where the Tar Heels didn't play well at all. Heels bounced back with a season-high 60% shooting against ECU. Coach Roy Williams says the team invested a lot in the days leading up to this game.
Yesterday we got after it probably as hard as anybody on this team has ever had a practice the day before a game. But you can't do the things rebounding-wise, and you can't do the things one-on-one and selfishly like we did Wednesday night and be a good basketball team.
junior Bryce Johnson led the Tar Heels with 19 points and a career-high 17 rebounds. Johnson's rebounding record surpassed any Tar Heel from last season and this current season.
He played a lot tougher tonight. He had, 17 boards or something like that. And I mean, the last game, I'm pretty sure he didn't even break, 7 or 8. So, I mean, that was the biggest thing I noticed. He dove on the floor about 3-4 times today, and that's rare. it was just an overall effort on his part. That was great.
Again, that final score, 108-64, Carolina over ECU. Despite the victory, Roy says there is a lot of room for improvement.
We still got to do a better job rebounding, a better job of boxing out. But we shared the ball, 27 assists for us, shooting 60% for the game. And again, we were into it mentally. We got to have that same kind of attitude every night.
There was plenty to offer on the Tar Heel sports menu over the weekend. While it was a heartbreaking end of the road for one Carolina team, it was a continuation of a national championship run for another. WCHL's Matt Oakes has this report.
UNC Soccer senior midfielder and Greensboro native Glenn Long will remember Saturday night's game for the rest of his life. The Tar Heels' NCAA tournament fate rested on the strength of his leg, and with the game and the season on the line, Long's penalty kick was gobbled up by UCLA goalkeeper Earl Edwards. Jr. In the eighth round, the Bruins clinched the gut-wrenching home victory with another sprawling save by Edwards Jr. And just like that, UNC's season came to a close with a 15-5-2 final record. For four impactful Tar Heels in particular, the loss will be even tougher to take. As seniors, their soccer careers at Carolina have now ended, including captain Boyd Okwonu, goal scorers Tyler Engel and Andy Craven, and stingy goalkeeper Brendan Moore. UNC head coach Carlos Somoano will do well to replace such pivotal performers next season. Meanwhile, the locker room was a happier place for the Tar Heels back on the East Coast. The UNC volleyball team continued its winning ways with a tough 3-1 win over Southern California inside Carmichael Arena Saturday evening. The Tar Heels have triumphed in a school record 19th straight contest. Now Sweet 16 bound, head coach Joe Segula says the second round NCAA tournament match was an outstanding showcase of top-notch volleyball.
I want to congratulate our North Carolina program as well as Southern Cal for a great match. What a great battle.
Carolina's coach, now in his 25th season in Chapel Hill, lauds his strong stable of seniors for the perfect 16-0 season mark in the cozy confines of Carmichael Arena.
Really good about this, and this is why I have these four seniors with us here right now. This is significant for this program and what these four represent to us and what they've done and what they've seen, how they've seen this program grow. And tonight was a special night, I think, for them and for this whole team, for us to get to this point.
Senior Lauren McAdoo says she's proud of her team for overcoming obstacles and reaching for their lofty goals.
And it has been a goal since we got here to make it to the Sweet 16. And I think it shows the heart and fight of this team. Through all adversity and everything, we just stuck with our goal and just fought through it together.
Next up for the Tar Heels is a Sweet 16 matchup with 10th seed Oregon on Friday in the Sports Pavilion in Minneapolis. And thanks to Matt Oakes for that report. You might look at the Panthers yesterday and say, who are you and what have you done with the Panthers? Well, Cam Newton passed for 3 touchdowns, appeared to incite a scuffle with frustrated New Orleans after he went over the pile for another score, and the Panthers ended a 6-game skid with a 41-10 rout of the Saints on Sunday. And Jonathan Stewart added a 69-yard touchdown as the Panthers, who are now 4-8-1, pull within a game of NFC South leader Atlanta, 5-7, which plays at Green Bay tonight. Now, Newton's jawing and Superman celebration of his 2-yard rushing touchdown in the first quarter drew a shove from linebacker Curtis Lofton, igniting a scrum that went from a closed gate behind the goalpost and into a tunnel. Panthers tight end Brandon Williams was ejected for punching Cam Jordan, but Carolina kept rolling. New Orleans, perhaps the only NFL team that's more frustrated than the Panthers. And, of course, in college football over the weekend, they picked the Final Four, the playoff system. It's number 1 Alabama versus number 4 Ohio State, number 2 Oregon versus number 3 Florida State. One of those teams will win the national championship. More on that coming up from Art. It's 7:25. I'm Rod Stutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The college football playoff created both great interest and controversy. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. You knew watching Saturday's results unfold in games won by TCU, Baylor, and Ohio State that someone was going to be mighty unhappy when the first Final Four of college football was announced. It turned out to be the two Big 12 teams, which each had one loss but were left out in favor of the fast-charging Buckeyes of the Big Ten. You can't argue the selection, only the method. Certainly Ohio State amazed all by routing Wisconsin 59-0 in a Big Ten championship game with the third-string quarterback. And before the selection committee announced who would join Alabama, Oregon, and Florida State in the first 4-team playoff, most radio and TV talking heads figured it would be Ohio State because of its fast finish and its strong lobby among conferences trying to influence committee members. The big discrepancy came for TCU, which was ranked number 3 in last week's poll and won its final game over Iowa State 55-3. What more could the Horned Frogs do to keep their position? And Baylor defeated ranked Kansas State to try and move up from number 5 last week. As it turned out, Ohio State leapfrogged both of them and will face top-ranked Alabama in one semifinal on January 1st. Number 3 FSU gets the second-ranked Oregon Ducks in the other semifinal. Most critics pointed out the political nature of the selection committee, an unequal geographic representation, and questioned why someone like former Secretary of State Condi Rice served on the committee, which ranked the teams weekly and then tried to explain what it did. That made for contradictions galore. Think about it this way. When the NCAA Basketball Tournament Selection Committee announces its field each year, the chairman meets with the media to answer questions and explain why certain fringe teams made it and didn't make it, and how the overall seeding was decided. People agree and disagree with those results, but it is one announcement and one press conference. The College Football Committee did that each week, which was a mistake, and the big reason the makeup and methodology of the committee is now under fire. Bet in years to come, they will announce the weekly rankings and wait till the end to say anything. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso. No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal. Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower. No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for watering shock resistance, submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes, rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
The following 10 seconds of Yodeling Bacon is brought to you by Cameron's at 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. The previous 10 seconds of Yodeling Bacon was brought to you by Cameron's at 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. Cameron's, a gallery of gifts, jewelry, cards, toys, and highly entertaining off-the-wall stuff. Cameron's, a wonderland of gifts.
Great deals are here to help with holiday shopping needs. Visit ourlocaldeal.com to shop our hot holiday deals page and save at least half off now through December 31st. One of our many merchants you'll find is Deluxe Cleaners. Get $20 of cleaning services for only $10. Deluxe Cleaners has been offering superior quality and service for over 32 years with 3 convenient locations in Chapel Hill and Durham. They're a family-owned and operated business striving to satisfy your dry cleaning needs. Look sharp for all your holiday celebrations with help from Deluxe Cleaners. Find the hot holiday deals page at ourlocaldeal.com.
Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate is a comprehensive support program for students in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. If you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with a child, then Blue Ribbon is the perfect opportunity for you. We're looking for volunteers to serve 2 hours a week for a minimum of 2 years. Contact Granville Johnson at 919-918-2170, extension 5. Blue Ribbon thanks WCHL for supporting our program.
Good morning. It is 7:30 at WCHL. Time to take a look at your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather. It's brought to you by the Carolina Inn. And it looks really cool all day. 39 degrees right now, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain in the afternoon. Cooler temperatures. Our highs today about 40. Tonight cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain. Near steady temperatures in the middle 30s. Tomorrow mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain in the morning. Not as cool with a high in the low 50s. Well, the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. You got to check them out. 7:31.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. Waterboarding, sleep deprivation, other torture procedures were used by the CIA in the days after the September 11th attacks in an effort to gain more information about al-Qaeda. Now, a report is about to be released by a Senate panel.
The report, based on what we know, will indicate that the CIA not only went beyond the bounds of the law, but that the program wasn't effective, and that, in addition, the CIA misled the White House and even Congress.
That's CBS National Security Analyst Juan Zarate.
The question is, will this put fuel on the fire of those who will use the report to animate anti-American sentiment?
Some data that could have been collected by investigators was not.
The CIA officials who were responsible for the program itself weren't interviewed and weren't spoken to by the investigators. And so the report is seen as perhaps incomplete.
Zarate told CBS this morning.
Congress itself is not being held to account for what it knew, what it was briefed on, what it was asking, actually, of the CIA to do.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We have 38 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 732 WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. 34 UNC centers and institutes could face the axe from the university's Board of Governors. That report comes from NC Policy Watch. Closing any or all of the centers across 16 UNC campuses around the state would be the result of up to $15 million in cuts approved by the Republican-led state legislature last year. The proposed cuts extend to speaker series and other non-academic activities as well. The list was narrowed down from 237 centers and institutions that were compiled earlier this year. Seven of the 34 current centers on the list were already under campus review. The Board of Governors will hear presentations on Wednesday and Thursday of this week before making final recommendations. Groups under review for the cuts include the Research Institute for Environment, Energy, and Economics at Appalachian State University, the Institute for Civic Engagement and Social Change at North Carolina Central University, and the UNC Center for Civil Rights here in Chapel Hill. North Carolina Policy Watch quoted UNC Board of Governors member Jim Holmes denying that the proposed cuts and closures were driven by any particular political agenda. About a month after the release of the Weinstein Report, UNC is facing even more backlash. 10 media organizations are suing the university for withholding the names of the 9 employees who faced discipline or dismissal for their involvement in the academic scandal. They also want information of the other employees named in the report. The media claim the names are public information, but the university has refused to disclose them. And last week, UNC filed a motion to dismiss the complaint altogether. Rini Gupta reports for Carolina Connection.
The lawsuit was filed by the Associated Press, 4 broadcasting companies, and 5 newspapers, including the News and Observer. NNO senior investigative reporter Steve Riley says he's frustrated with how UNC is handling the release of information he believes should be open to the public.
The University of North Carolina is easily the most difficult public agency that we've ever worked with here. I can't think of another one we've had to sue 3 times, let alone in 4 years.
Raleigh attorney Mike Toddy is representing the 10 media outlets in the lawsuit to get the names of faculty and staff members who were punished or fired after the Weinstein Report uncovered decades of fake classes and bogus grades.
Basically, we filed the lawsuit under the public records law, saying that another statute makes that information public, and the state employees that we're seeking information on are those that have been connected with the academic scandal as revealed by the recent Weinstein report.
A university spokesman released a statement November 24th, the day the lawsuit was filed, saying, quote, "We decline further comment at this time while we review these claims." This week, we asked Chancellor Carol Folt about the lawsuit after the ceremony announcing the donation to the School of Pharmacy.
Really? Is that what you want to ask me about right now?
I'm sorry, I have to.
I think you should ask me about that at a different time.
Okay.
Shortly after the lawsuit was filed, the university did release one name. Jamie Lee, a former football academic counselor, was one of 4 people terminated. The Daily Tar Heel printed a list with other names that it said it had obtained from an anonymous source. but the university has not confirmed that list. Jenny Serrain is the DTH editor-in-chief.
There is a lot of kind of clouded information, so it's disappointing, I think, because in our opinion, these employees have obviously done a lot to damage the integrity of the university, and their names have already been floated out there through the Weinstein Report, which the university commissioned.
The media organizations expect a hearing on the lawsuit sometime this month. In Chapel Hill, I'm Rini Gupta.
All right, 836 at WCHL. Carolina Connection, by the way, is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It just aired its final show of 2014 this past Saturday, but it will be back on WCHL again in January after the holidays, Saturday mornings at 8:30 during the school year. I have a very special guest in the studio today. Jane Shears is here. Jane was the overall winner, the grand prize winner in our 2014 Battle for Atlantis, Mark Vitale Nationwide Basketball Giveaway presented by Continental Tire. And Jane is back from the Bahamas, although she thought about staying.
Oh, that would have been wonderful.
How was it? Tell us about your trip.
It was absolutely fabulous from start to finish. Wonderful people to travel with, fabulous accommodation. And, of course, the games, which were, well, other than the first one,
were absolutely fabulous.
It was great. And the seats, the games were played in a ballroom. I think we were 10 rows back. We were behind the bench. And it was so exciting. So much fun.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the rest of the trip. I mean, what did you do when you were on the island, on Paradise Island?
The first day was hot and sunny, and we walked on the beach, and we looked around the resort of Atlantis and saw all the fish and the sharks in the aquarium, and it is just beautiful. It got a little cooler the other couple of days, but we made the most of being outside. It was certainly warmer than here, and it was just great to be away.
Well,
it's a fabulous place.
I'm glad you had such a great time. Steve, have a good time, too?
He did. He loved it. He was so thrilled when I won. He was so excited. I think I was more shocked. He was just real excited.
Well, if I recall, when we were having our big finale at R&R Grill, Steve told me that he had to twist your arm to get you to come because you didn't really think you had a chance to win.
No, I wasn't quite sure. I thought there might be lots and lots of finalists. Yeah. And I didn't realize that it was down to about 190. And but I was there, and thank goodness I was. It was so exciting. That night was so fun.
Yeah, it was. That was a big grand finale. And Jane, let me ask you, if you had 30 seconds to tell everybody about this place where you went and the whole trip, what would you say to folks who are thinking about a Bahamian vacation?
Oh, the Bahamas is lovely. The people are delightful. They're so friendly. And the place is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's in the same time zone. It's not that far to get there. It's just lovely.
So you don't feel like you're disconnected with the rest of the world either. But at the same time, you are in the Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we FaceTimed our family back here and talk to the people that we were missing a little bit. So, no, it wasn't that far away.
Yeah, well,
it was wonderful.
So glad you had a great time, and our thanks to everybody who made that contest possible, all our 30 sponsors in all, Mark Vitale, Nationwide Insurance, for one thing, and also Continental Tire and the folks at R&R Grill for hosting our big party, and thank you especially, Jane, for winning and being such a gracious winner and living to tell about it after a wild weekend.
Well, thank you, Ron, and I brought you back a rum cake. Small consolation, I'm sure, but anyway, it's a rum cake from the Bahamas, and we had a wonderful time, and we loved being with Mark and his family, too, and really appreciate what they did and all the sponsors. It was so fabulous.
A Caribbean rum cake.
Caribbean rum.
All right.
Well, yes.
I'm ready for that. Nikki, you ready for that, too? All right. Well, the rest of the morning show could escalate.
Oh, right.
But thank you so much for coming in.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
Good to see you.
You too.
I'm glad you're back in Chapel Hill. Seriously.
I am. Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It is 7:40 at WCHL. And coming up, we have today's commentary on the way from Wes Hare. We'll also talk with Nikki about what's happening at chapelboro.com.
Change your plans on Monday. The Carolina Coffee Shop is now open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. on weekdays and 9 a.m. on the weekend. North Carolina's oldest restaurant has more that's new, like an espresso bar with professionally trained baristas. The Carolina Coffee Shop is now the one-stop shop for the best in breakfast, lunch, and dinner, serving the freshest in local fare. And it's espresso bar. Check out CarolinaCoffeeShop.com, plus Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for daily deals and specials. The Carolina Coffee Shop, now open on Monday, too.
Stanley Martin Homes is proud to present their new model home open now in Winmore, a classic village of new homes just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Stanley Martin's three home designs, priced from the 370s, combine the best in energy efficiency and beautiful design. And Winmore is right on the UNC bus route. For kids, there's a pool and playground. And Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School are in the walk zone. There's conservation woodland space and walking and jogging trails for the whole family to enjoy. Come visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore or go to stanleymartin.com.
Hey, Ron, it's my favorite time of the year again.
You mean the holidays, David?
I mean basketball season, Ron. But now that you mention the holidays, you should come do some holiday shopping at Fitz Lumber and Hardware. We've got great stocking stuffers and all the tools needed for the weekend warrior fathers out there attempting the ever-growing honey-do list into the new year. From the Fitz Lumber and Hardware family, we wish you and yours a happy and safe holiday season. As always, thanks for your business.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
7:42 at WCHL. So nice to talk to Jane Shears this morning, and she had a great time in the Bahamas, and probably was hesitant about coming back.
What a nice lady. Yeah. She was really nice. I liked her.
Oh yeah, she's awesome. What is happening today, Nikki Morse, at chapelboro.com?
Well, lots of stuff, Ron. Always lots of stuff. And Jeff Danner does the I call it the scientific math. Because both of them make my head, fold in half.
Everything he does is scientific and over my head.
Right, mine too. Anyway, he talks about the drop in gas prices and how to understand why gasoline prices have dropped and examining why the petroleum prices have dropped. Uh-huh. Do the math in your head. I don't know. You have to read the story. You'll see what I mean.
No, you do the math in your head.
Oh, no. The commentators, David Schwartz, talks about the difference between revitalization in other cities and Chapel Hill, and a really great photo gallery on the UNC-ECU game. Mm-hmm. Really good. Some awesome pictures. If you get a chance to take a look at them, go ahead and do that, because you never know. You might be one of those pictures.
Yeah, you never know.
Of course,
if you weren't at the game, you won't be in the pictures, but if you were there, there's a real good possibility.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so you won't find me there, because I didn't make the game.
No,
so.
Me either.
But, if you were there in the Smith Center, then you might very well appear.
Absolutely.
Hey, anything else?
No, it's all I got.
Okay. Well, don't forget that we have... you can go to chapelboro.com. You can follow us anytime, wherever you are, anywhere in the world, even in the Bahamas, you can listen to us. There's an app for that on our website, live streaming 24/7. And you can hear Nikki Morse do the traffic every morning and all the other stuff she does.
Because that's edge of your seat stuff, folks.
Oh, it really is. Mm-hmm. It's the highlight of the entire day. Well, coming up, we have today's commentary. We'll have a look at your traffic and weather together. And we have all the usual stuff coming up. We have Wayne Pond's Word of the Day. Always a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
We have the clean joke of the day.
Which is always a highlight.
And today's WCHL Hometown Heroes, actually two of them.
Awesome.
And those are a couple of highlights. All of that on the way.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Wes Hare. On December 4th, the North Carolina NAACP and the Forward Together Moral Movement joined with fast food workers in Durham, Greensboro, Charlotte, Greenville for Fight for 15. The obvious first question is, why not Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County? In this community where we are relatively well off, why would we not want to support fast food workers on strike and join them to demand a living wage, the right to form a union, and respect and dignity on the job? Many of us joined together for the Forward Together Moral Movement. Now is a good time to remind North Carolina that we are going forward together, not one step back. Why not with the fast food workers? I'm drawing the following from the North Carolina NAACP. Why we stand with fast food workers. It is time for fast food workers' wages in the U.S. to be as those across the world. Fast food workers in Denmark make over $20 an hour. McDonald's workers in Australia make $16 an hour, and a Big Mac is actually less expensive there. Today, low-wage workers make less than they ever have before. If the minimum wage had kept up with inflation since 1968, it would be about $11 today. If the minimum wage had kept up with productivity of workers, it would be $21.72. In the last 2 years since the Fight for 15 started, 13 states have increased their minimum wage, as have 10 cities and county governments. Workers have won $15 an hour in San Francisco, Seattle, and Los Angeles. This fight is broader than just the fast food industry. We are fighting for all people to earn a living wage so that they may support themselves and their families. Fight for 15. Forward together. As we enter into this rich and dynamic holiday season, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, we are all likely to join the wide variety of fast food establishments. If you want to join in this fight for 15, contact www.naacpnc.org. This is Wes Hare.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
7:47 at WCHL, and time now for traffic and weather together. We'll start with traffic, and once again, here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Fordham Boulevard starting to see some crowded segments now, both directions between 54 and Greensboro Street. 15501 also heavily traveled in spots both ways between Franklin Street and 40 and 40 eastbound. Expect lanes starting to fill up between 751 and Fayetteville Road. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're
and
welcome.
Nikki's going to stick around for the clean joke coming up in just a few minutes. She says it's good today.
It is good. It's good. I found some good ones for all week.
I have no idea. So we'll find out together. Time now for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather forecast, and it's brought to you by the Carolina Inn. And the weather looks like this, mostly cloudy today. We're starting out at 38 degrees, chance of rain in the afternoon. Cooler temperatures, highs today only about 40, gonna hold kind of steady once we get to about 40. Tonight cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain, near steady temperatures in the middle 30s. And the tomorrow, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain in the morning. Not as cool though, with a high in the low 50s. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients. Created by Executive Chef James Clark and his talented culinary team, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond. How's it going?
I just love it. I just love it.
You do?
Yeah.
Remember that old song?
To the point. Remember
that old song by Daddy Dewdrop?
I confess I do not.
Don't you just love it? I'll have to look that up and play it sometime today.
Well, I was thinking, with that introduction, Ron, you're getting close to the way Andy Richter introduces Conan O'Brien.
Well, Nikki's looking at me really strange, like, what the heck are you talking about?
I suspect Mickey looks at you strangely all the time.
Yeah, anybody,
and then there's that.
Anybody, there's
nothing new about that. Hey, Nikki, speaking of things that are strange and wonderful, you mentioned the seat of your pants are hanging on every word.
Yes.
The delivery of the traffic report.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got an idea for you. I think you ought to change that a little bit.
Okay? You want to change what?
Change the format, method of delivery.
Uh-huh.
So which brings me to the word of the day. The word of the day is parable. Parable. P-A-R-A-B-L-E. P as in Paul. P-A-R-A-B-L-E. B-L-E. Ron, you'll identify with this, all the great amount of time you spend in church every weekend.
One of these days we're going to figure out your thought process, Wayne, but that's another story.
Well, I was thinking a parable here is a short fictitious story. Uh-huh. Illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. Has a wonderful history all about Greek origins, space, time, comparisons, things like that.
But Master of Space and Time, Leon Russell.
There you go. But what it comes down to us to mean, again, is a short fictitious story, mm-hmm. as I said, that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. So, Nikki, you could deliver the traffic report every morning by way of parable. You don't have to.
Well, it's already a short fictitious story.
There you go. That's what now. See, Ron, have we completed the circle for your...
It's amazing. It's the circle of life.
Yeah, the circle of, boy, the circle of baloney is what it is.
Well, baloney is round.
Yeah, parable. There's your word of the day. P-A-R-A-B-L-E. A short, usually short, fictitious story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious principle. So as I like to say to you every morning when we wrap up this wonderful bit, be good children. Do no harm.
Okay.
Have fun.
No harm, no foul.
All right. I'll talk to you in the morning. Bye.
All right, buddy.
You know, Ron?
Yeah.
For a definition talking about a short fictitious story, it sure was long.
Well, he said in most cases. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Frank Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. 752 WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Morse is here to deliver the clean joke of the day.
Thanks, Ron. Well, this guy needs a job, so he decides to apply at the zoo. And as it happened, their star attraction, a gorilla, had just passed away the night before, so they carefully preserved his hide. They tell this guy that they'll pay him if he'll dress up in the gorilla skin.
They carefully preserved his hide?
They carefully preserved his hide.
Oh, great.
So apparently he's got to dress up in this gorilla's skin and pretend to be the gorilla so people will keep coming to the zoo.
Uh-huh.
So even though the guy has his doubts, he needs the money, so he puts on the skin and he goes out into the cage. The people all cheer to see him. He plays up the audience, and they just eat it up. This isn't so bad, he thinks, and he starts really putting on a show, jumping around, beating his chest, roaring, swinging around. Then during one of the acrobatic attempts, he loses his balance, and he crashes through some safety netting, landing square in the middle of the lion's cage. As he lies there stunned, the lion roars. He's terrified and starts screaming, "Help! Help! Help!" The lion races over to him, places his paws on his chest, and hisses, "Shut up or we'll both lose our jobs."
Oh, boy. That was good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I told you.
Yeah, I guess I need to start listening. It's 753 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Fred Black and Sylvia Black are today's WCHL hometown heroes, and Fred and Sylvia are getting a very special award presented by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. And Fred, tell us about that award.
Well, Ron, we're both blessed and honored to be recognized by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber as their Citizens of the Year. And this is an annual award given by the Chamber, along with awards for Town Gown and Volunteering and a Lifetime Achievement Award. And we're just thrilled to share the stage with such great people in Chapel Hill Carborough who are going to receive these awards.
It's a really special award. And Fred, I know that you're involved in a lot of things. Sprout Roses Foundation. I could go on and on and talk about all the organizations that you've been a part of. But what makes it feel so good to you to be involved in these things to make our community a better place?
Sylvia and I both have the philosophy that we should give back and use some time and talents and treasures to help the community. And that's what we've done since we've lived here. And Sylvia especially has been very, very involved. She's into Habitat for Humanity and A Ban Against Neglect, another organization that's a favorite of hers, and all sorts of other activities. And it keeps us busy, and it keeps you young.
Well, Fred, you have quite a history in the military, a longtime military background before you even came to Chapel Hill. And I know that you have just dug in with both feet
connect you and Sylvia into our local community here. And I want to thank you for everything that you do, because you set a good example for other people when it comes to giving back.
Well, thank you, Ron. And, you know, working here in this community has been really a lot of fun. And doing things with you at WCHL has been just as much fun, too. And I might add that you are a award winner from a previous year, so I'm following in your footsteps.
Well, it goes back away, but you and Sylvia are really special people, and we're all honored to know you, and we appreciate what you do. You make our Chapel Hill Carborough community a better place in which to live.
Well, thank you very much.
Fred and Sylvia Black, Citizens of the Year, and today's WCHL Hometown Heroes.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Have you heard? According to a new study, men who spent less than $2,000 on an engagement ring were more likely to have a successful marriage. At Chatelaine's, we take pride in our beautiful estate pieces and in the wholesale prices we put on them. Not into estate and vintage jewelry? We offer competitive rates on new and trending jewelry as well. Though going deep into debt may seem like a grand gesture, spending wisely without compromising quality is an expression of your commitment to her and your future together. Shop Chatelaine's, located in Carborough's historic car mill.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Hey, Leonardo da Vinci, the Mona Lisa, she's a great success. But how did you get her to smile like that?
Oh, Michelangelo, it's obvious. I sent her to the Breadmans.
Breadmans on Rosemary Street?
Sure, they've got the great food with breakfast all day and low prices. You can't go in there and not come out smiling.
Guess I better head to Breadmans today.
Today?
Yeah, they got me painting this ceiling for the next 4 years.
Oh, bummer.
Breadman's Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
What, you think we only like a pizza?
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also, on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
Great deals are here to help with holiday shopping needs. Visit ourlocaldeal.com to shop our hot holiday deals page and save at least half off now through December 31st. One of the many merchants you'll find is Tar Heel Photo Booth. Purchase photo booth rental and props for your next event or party. You can choose from two options at over half off. Photo booth rentals are perfect for any occasion, and they make a great gift for someone planning an upcoming wedding, reunion, birthday party, or corporate event. Capture some epic moments with Tar Heel Photo Booth. Find the hot holiday deals page at ourlocaldeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Breadman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Breadman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point. It looks like this. 39 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Mostly cloudy. Chance of rain in the afternoon. Cooler temperatures are high today, about 40. It's going to get there and stay there. Tonight, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain. Near steady temperatures in the middle 30s. And then tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies. Slight chance of rain in the morning, but not as cool. Our high tomorrow up in the low 50s. We'll look ahead a little bit tomorrow night. Partly cloudy with a low down in the middle 30s. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high of about 50 degrees. Crown Honda of South Point is a home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute I-540 at the 751 exit. Crown Honda of South Point. Good morning. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
New information on the failed rescue in Yemen.
The SEALs lost the all-important element of surprise.
post 9/11 interrogations by the CIA.
This report will add more confusion and smoke rather than light.
L.A. Inferno.
It shut down two major freeways.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. New details are emerging about the U.S. rescue attempt in Yemen Saturday that failed, leaving two hostages, including American Luke Summers, dead. Pentagon correspondent David Martin has more.
Before they could reach the outer wall of the compound, they were discovered. A firefight broke out, part of which was apparently recorded and posted on a jihadi website. In the midst of the firefight, a person was seen running into the building which served as Summers' prison. He was in there for only seconds, but by the time the SEALs got to the building, Summers and a second hostage, South African Pierre Corky, were bleeding from gunshot wounds.
I'm Vicky Barker. Summers' fellow hostage, Pierre Corky, was to be a free man today. The White House says it didn't know about a deal to release the South African teacher. Summers' English relatives have told the Times of London they didn't know anything about the rescue attempt. They say his father, Michael Summers, is angry and believes his son was not in immediate danger because earlier threats to kill him had not been carried out. Steve?
U.S. intelligence officials fear a new Senate report will put American lives at risk. It claims the CIA routinely used illegal interrogation tactics after the 9/11 attacks and lied about them. Democrats on the Senate Intelligence Committee are expected to release details in a matter of days. CBS News security analyst Juan Zarate.
The report, based on what we know, will indicate that the CIA not only went beyond the bounds of the law, but that the program wasn't effective, and that in addition, the CIA misled the White House and even Congress. But the question is, will this put fuel on the fire of those who will use the report to animate anti-American sentiment? And I think the answer is yes.
Six former Guantanamo Bay prisoners have begun their new lives in Uruguay, the country with just 300 Muslims. Accepted them as a humanitarian gesture. The six, four Syrians, a Tunisian, and a Palestinian, were detained as militants linked to al-Qaeda back in 2002, but were never charged. In Afghanistan today, the ceremonial end of the U.S. and NATO-led operation that began after the 9/11 attacks. Kabul reporter Catherine James says now the effort transitions to training and support for Afghan forces.
Through 2015 and 2016, a new mission will start, which will have a residual force of 13,000 international troops, almost 11,000 of which will be U.S. troops.
The commander, U.S. General John Campbell, said Afghan security forces are capable. In Egypt, the Canadian embassy closed today amid security concerns a day after Great Britain took similar action with its embassy there. CBS's Alex Ortiz is in Cairo.
The American embassy, for its part, is open and operating normally, even though it is right next door to the British embassy.
There has been an increase in militant attacks in Egypt, but they've been directed mostly at Egyptian soldiers and police. Here at home, protesters in the streets of Berkeley, California.
Alex Nieto, Michael Brown, shut it down, shut it down.
I came out to show solidarity with folks who are fighting for justice for black and brown people who are getting killed way too much.
But the peaceful demonstration turned violent for the second night in a row. Some store windows were smashed, rocks and bottles were tossed, and a crowd blocked a freeway. Police used tear gas and did make some arrests. In Los Angeles this morning, a huge fire at a major apartment building still under construction has closed parts of two freeways. KNX Radio's Pete Demetrio.